Following up on last segment, I have a couple of really great websites for you. National Wildlife Federation has Garden for Wildlife, and that's N as in NancyWF.org, and you can go in there and find just different ways, different plants, and a way to become certified in your own yard. We have one in our neighborhood. It's really fun to look at. And then there's also what Jay was talking about at pollinator.org is the North American Pollinator Protection Campaign.
Well, wait, there's more.
There's more.
Yeah, growwise.org, growwise.org, and that is the Grow Wise, Be Smart campaign on strictly just pollinator gardens and the Million Pollinator Garden campaign. So that's American Hort's website. So I'm sure they're all good, and they all probably would love that you all promote each other to do that. So.
And there's more. Bayer Crop Science has one called feedabee.com. You can actually go on, and they'll send you seeds relevant to your zone to plant that will attract bees.
Oh, where's that, Roman?
Feedabee.com. And then there's backyardhive.com, another one that encourages backyard beehives. So there's plenty if you just look a little.
Those will be up on Facebook in a few minutes. I'll make a post of those.
Now, as we were transitioning from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock hour, I took a call from a gentleman by the name of Bill. And he said, you know, I hear you guys talking about the mesquite pancakes a lot. There's a group in Tucson that has...
DesertHarvesters.org.
DesertHarvesters.org. And they have a mill. You bring your mesquite pods to. They grind it up, and then they make pancakes, among other things.
Right.
Well, he says, did you know about Del Bach whiskey made from the mesquite pods?
No, I didn't. I hadn't gotten that far. I'm still eating pancakes.
Yeah. It's actually kind of neat. They are in Tucson as well, and it's a family operation, and you can actually go help them in their fermenting process.
Now, I'd like to know their opinion.
It's named after... San Xavier Del Bach Mission. It's Del Bach.
Awesome.
And he says you can get it at AJ's and a couple of, and Total Wine and more. So it's something else to add to your mesquite pod grinding and
mesquite whiskey.
I want to have a conversation with him because there's this big controversy about when it's toxic and when it's not. But I guess if you're going to ferment it, it doesn't matter, right?
Then it's toxic automatically. Yeah.
You just skip right to the... Yeah,
it's not toxic until you finish.
Yeah, and mesquite beans are ripe and falling on the ground. You know, they're dry and falling on the ground all over right now. So if you're interested, this is a great time.
Well, according to the website on Desert Harvesters, once it's rained, the chances of being able to get this fungus
after
thing...
the first rain, they're saying the pods can develop an aflatoxin that is extremely... hazards. As a matter of fact, what they recommend is if you're harvesting after the first rain, which right now in the valley, it's too late. We've already had that first rain. So
depending where your house is.
Depending where your house is, exactly. But they'll actually take beans, you grind it, and then you send them samples in a bag, and they'll tell you if it has an aflatoxin presence.
For $33.
For $33. Yeah.
Or you can go buy mesquite flour somewhere. And
yeah, and hopefully they've had it tested hopefully and whatnot.
I like harvesting it. It was just such a bummer. I mean, they were just barely there, and we had tried, and they were too green, and then it rained, and it was too late.
Yeah, so we're gonna do a little bit more research on that because I do love the mesquite tortillas that Jennifer makes. So I don't want to believe that one little drizzle can ruin my crop.
Yeah, how much moisture would it have to have? And you would think that then baking at 118 degrees on rock would kind of take care of that, right?
You'd think so.
Well, and they're better toasted anyway, so wouldn't that take care of it? So I guess they're in the pretty early stages of research, so we will keep you posted.
All right.
Well, that just about wraps up our outdoor living hour. Final thoughts as we're getting through. Probably June's usually the hottest.
Well,
month.
We're this is not that unusual. I mean, this is when the record was set, was this week. It's that latter part of June, and you know it does take these kind of temperatures to usually get the monsoon rolling.
Come on, baby.
Start sucking some moisture up into here. But you know, just make sure you're observing your garden, that your irrigation systems are working properly to begin with, and then know that. You know, 110 plus, you just kind of throw the rules out and you water in addition. Also a great time to evaluate. You know, things that look good right now are pretty tried and true. And if you got some plants that look great all spring and winter and didn't make it through the summer, you spend more money on a round of golf or a movie than you do on plants, and it only gives you a few moments. So,
and get a prod out if you want to know if you're watering too much or too little. Stick a metal prod in, and how deep that easily goes in the ground tells you how deep the water is.
Come in and get a free booklet called Landscape Watering by the Numbers, or go online to wateruseitwisely.com. Great publication. Much easier to just read a few pages and figure out how to water than have somebody try and tell you how to do it, and you'll be fine.
All right, y'all stay tuned. In the next hour, we'll be talking about all this heat down in the valley. We want to talk to you about, are you yearning for a little cabin in the big woods, a little weekend cool getaway? We'll talk about the do's and don'ts on rural cabin shopping. 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, it's your hour with a plumber here at Rosie on the House.
Sign up for the Rosie on the House weekly newsletter. It's filled with timely gardening and home improvement advice, as well as special offers and discounts you can't find anywhere else. That's rosieonthehouse.com.